I've met a number of people in my years who were practicing another religion, and then they had an encounter with Jesus. They had a understanding that Jesus loved them and cared for them. And I was just thinking about Cambodia. When I was in Cambodia last, I got a chance to interview the pastor of the Heartland Church that we sponsor over there. His name's Chenna. A few of you guys have met Pastor Chenna before. He's only about 30 years old, young guy. And he shared how he was raised as a Buddhist. And there was all these laws and rules and regulations. And it's a very sexist religion, Buddhism, because there's a lot more laws for men to follow than there is for women to follow. And he said he really struggled to be a good Buddhist. He said it's really hard to be a good Buddhist because you can never get it right. You're always messing up. And he said, and one day I got offered some free rice if I went to the Christian church. And I thought, I'll go to that. Sounds good. I like food, so I'll go. So he went along and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was given a Bible. And he said, after reading it, I thought there are similarities between Buddha and Jesus. Buddha says, don't commit adultery. But then Jesus says, don't commit adultery in your heart. Don't look lustfully on someone, or it's the same as committing adultery. And he thought, well, Buddha talks about the outward things, but then Jesus talks about the inside things. He said, and, you know, Buddha would say, don't murder. But then Jesus would say, don't murder, and don't be angry towards someone and call them a fool. Otherwise, it's the same as murdering them in your heart. And he says, Buddha would talk about the outward things, but then Jesus would talk about the inner things. And I realized Jesus had a much deeper truth. And so he converted from Buddhism to Christianity, and he's now got a church, you know, hundreds of people, planting churches all around Cambodia. And part of our, 4% of our tithe as a church goes into that mission. We're just so passionate about supporting Cambodia, and I'm so blessed that you guys are heading over there soon. And, you know, there's like 95% of Cambodia is Buddhist, and their country's in ruins. There's been horrific problems there with Pol Pot, all this stuff there, and they need Jesus. They need to know that love of Jesus in their country. And you look at the Muslim nations, you know, this woman here, you hear about them. It's often called the 1040 window in the Middle East. All those countries there that are predominantly Muslim. Horrific laws and rules there, you know, against women, against children. Just horrific laws that are imposed upon people. They need the love of Jesus. And I want to tell you, friends, we have got the answer. It's Jesus. No matter what religion, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Islam, whatever. And that's my heart behind this message today. I just want to share about the love of Jesus. So let's have a look at some of the different religions that we do that are in the world. I looked up the trusty resource Wikipedia to find out what the top 10 religions are in the world. My heart today is to share about how we respond to other religions. As Christians, we live by the absolute truth of the Word of God. And in these last days, there is a melting pot of religious beliefs in our country and many countries around the world. We'll face many questions, and we must respond to the truth spoken in love. We'll have to answer questions like, do all roads lead to God? Is our God the same as gods of other religions? And how is the Bible different to other religious books? I'm going to tackle a few of those topics today. So who can guess what is the number one religion in the world, according to Wikipedia? Christianity, very good, Oscar. Go to the top of the class. 2 billion people around the world follow Christianity out of 7 billion. So that's a pretty good percentage there. Who can guess what the number two religion is in the world? Islam, correct. 1.2 billion people, which is 19.6% of the world. So, and some people say that Islam is, you know, going to take over and is the fastest growing religion. I've read different reports, statistics that I believe to be reliable, show that Christianity is the fastest growing religion in the world. And we're seeing over 50,000 people converted a day around the world, 30,000 a day in China alone. So incredible revival in China. Africa has also seen over 100 million come to Christ in this last century. The greatest revival the world's ever seen has been in Africa. And the church is on the move. The Church of Jesus Christ is on the move. And I believe that our sister shared before, Erica shared before, about how Jesus is making the bride beautiful for his return. I believe that the gospel is going to the nations of the world. You have a look at those stats. There's 2 billion Christians around the world, and it covers 238 countries, all the known countries that are listed here. There's Christians in every country of the world. They say Afghanistan is one of the toughest places. There's no known churches there. Also Japan, where I'm heading over to in October for a 10-day mission trip. Japan is the least evangelized nation of the world. And we also sow our finances into that nation because we believe it's so important to support the New Hope churches there. Okay, so Christianity number one at 2 billion. Islam at number two at 1.2 billion. Number three, who can have a guess? I can't hear. Hindi, that's right, Hinduism. 800,000 Hindus around the world, that's 13%. Then number four, any guesses? New Age? Oh, yeah, it's actually not listed in this list here, but it probably is if you add it all. Because New Age is really just a whole bunch of religions mixed together, isn't it? Yeah. Buddhism, that's right. Buddhism is number four at 5.9%. Interestingly enough, Buddhism is the second largest religion in Australia. I was quite surprised when I found that out. Steve Chocolandi, a pastor from Melbourne, wrote a book called From Buddha to Jesus about his conversion. And he shared that Buddhism is the largest, but it's a very different version of Buddhism to what Thailand. Thailand is the home of Buddhism and also Cambodia. Very different versions. Over in those countries, Buddhism is very strict. Here, Buddhism in Australia is really New Age. Have a Buddha in your home. Just don't kill animals, you know, or you become a cockroach in the next life. All that kind of stuff, you know. It's a very watered-down, mixed version of Buddhism in Australia. So I know a lot of the Buddhist priests that I spoke to in Cambodia, very different to people who say they're Buddhists in Australia, very, very different versions of Buddhism. And this is the thing. This was Satan's plan all along, that he would raise up counterfeit religions. He would raise up false ideologies, demon spirits that deceive people, and whatever goes. You know, you can choose whatever you want out of those religions and create your own religion if you want. And there is a lot of confusion among these religions about what they believe. A lot of different extremes are different in those religions, as there is in Christianity as well. I have to admit, there's many extremes in our relationship with Jesus. And really, Christianity, even though it's called a religion, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus. Christianity is a relationship with the living Lord, where we receive His Holy Spirit, we live a life in relationship with our Creator. That's why one of the slogans in our church is, for people interested in God, not religion. We don't want to promote a bunch of laws and rules and you've got to live this way, otherwise you're in trouble. We want to promote a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really what Christianity is. Okay, number five is Sikhism. Now, they're only 0.4% and only in 34 countries of the world. 23,000, very small. So, and I won't go through the rest. I'll touch on some. Judaism, Baha'i, Confucianism, Shinto, Taoism. They're all very small after the first big four. So really, it's Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism are the big four. The others are all a lot smaller from there on. And I really just wanted to give today a few outlines and guidelines for how we can interact with people of other faiths. Now, I'm certainly not promoting us to become a multi-faith gathering. You know, in America, there's some churches that actually have Chrislam services. They mix Christianity and Islam together and try and have a Muslim imam and a pastor together, and they try and teach from the Quran and teach from the Bible. Now, Jesus must be coming back soon when you hear stories like that. Absolutely shocking to believe, because they're poles apart, what our religions teach. Completely different. So please understand me at the outset. I'm not promoting we become a multi-faith gathering and we include those other religions. What I am promoting is that we preach Jesus, and that we preach the love of Jesus whenever we encounter someone from another religion. We shouldn't have fear. We shouldn't be worried and stressed out about people from other religions. We should stand with boldness and faith and love when we're communicating with others. Non-religious people and people belonging to religions not part of the 12 world religions make less than 27%. So there are a number of atheists or agnostics that you could say, about a third of the world as well. So recently I got the chance to interview a guy by the name of Dr. Stuart Robinson, author of a book called Mosques and Miracles. And I have to say, it really impacted me. I went to a one-day seminar that he spoke at recently, and Pastor Ben Gray brought him to Brisbane. And he does this seminar called The Cross and the Crescent, talking about the differences mainly between Christianity and Islam and how to interact with people. So I'm going to just start with Islam for a little bit, and we'll look at some other religions as we move through the message. He said the number one reason why Muslims convert to Christianity is because of a loving relationship. The number one reason. It's not because we can argue with them about the authenticity of the Quran versus the authenticity of the Bible. It's not because we know how we can quote scriptures at them left, right, and center and show them that we're smarter than them. There's a famous quote by John Maxwell that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Did you get that? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The number one reason why anyone from any other religion comes to Christ is because of a relationship. And what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're not going to win someone to Christ by arguing them into the kingdom. I've maybe seen that happen a couple of times in my life, but it's very rare. It's probably been over 1,000 people come to Christ here at New Hope over the last 9 years, and the vast majority has been from someone inviting them to church, someone inviting a friend along, and them realizing they needed a Savior and they came to Christ. It's through a loving relationship that we will be able to reach out to those from other faiths. So the number one reason is because of friendship, not because of argument. And at the end of the conference, Stuart Robinson gave an altar call for people who wanted to be actively involved in reaching out to Muslims. And I really felt a stirring. This is about 2 weeks ago. I really felt a stirring in my heart. So I stood up at that altar call and said, I'm going to make sure that for the rest of my ministry, I'm focused on winning souls, and that I will also focus on winning Muslim people to Christ. Because I truly believe that there is a harvest field for those that are part of the Muslim faith. So, and I honestly thought out of 1,000 people who come to Christ at New Hope, I haven't seen many people convert from the Muslim faith. I know we've had a few. I think Linda Allen brought a few along at some stage that came to Christ. And I can think of some in the past, but the vast majority have been either atheists or agnostics or moderate people from other religions, but we've hardly seen many Muslims come to Christ. And I truly believe it's a harvest field, and we need to be prepared to go to those nations as well. So I actually had a prophetic word from Brother Ewan when he spoke at our church that I would go to the nations that no one else wants to go to. So if I don't see you next year, it was nice to get to know you. But I was thinking, I was hoping that my radio show might go to those nations, or one of our YouTube clips might go, and that's a lot safer, but I think it might be me someday. So if you do want to go on a mission trip with me to Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iran, Iraq, let me know if you want to come along. We'll see if the door opens one day. So what do Muslims believe? They believe in Isa. So they believe in Muhammad as their prophet. They believe Jesus is Isa. And Isa was born from a virgin named Mary by the power of Allah. So they believe, we believe in God the Father, their version is Allah. And they believe that Isa was one of the greatest prophets of Allah, like Moses, and the last one before Muhammad. So they believe a lot of the same Old Testament stuff that we do is in their holy book, the Quran. Isa was not the son of Allah, but he was Allah's Messiah. So they actually acknowledge that Isa, Jesus, was a Messiah, but they have a different definition of the word Messiah that we do. And they do believe that Isa will eventually return. So they believe in the second coming, same as we do, but it's a different version that we believe. They do believe that he made miracles, such as curing people or raising people from the dead. But they don't believe Jesus was crucified. This is where there's a big difference. They believe that the Jews crucified an image of Isa, or maybe someone else. They reckon maybe someone else was put on the cross and it wasn't Jesus in the end. Now, that's a game breaker for us. We believe 100% that Jesus died on the cross, was in the grave for 3 days, and then rose from the dead. That is the foundation of our faith. We would not be here today if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus. We believe in that 100%. They have a different version of events, and it's, I believe, to be a twisted version, a different version. So just to explain some of the differences between our religions, if a strong Muslim person came to visit our church, there would be a number of things that they would be offended with. Firstly, they'd be offended that there are musicians and musical instruments on the stage, because you don't have anything like that on a stage, because that's holy, the stage, to Muslims. You don't have men and women sitting together in the Muslim faith. That's a no-no. And especially showing affection, hugging, kissing, no, you don't do any of that. in their meetings. If a Muslim, like I'm preaching from this today, that's a big no-no as well. You've got to use the holy book, and you can't bend the pages. You can't do anything with it. You've got to treat the holy book respectfully. You've got to keep the Quran above your waist. It's got to be held high. You don't put your Bible on the ground. Any holy book. All these things that we do. You see, it's religion. All that stuff. It's all these laws. Well, you've got to sit a certain way. You've got to hold a book a certain way. You've got to this stage of there. You know, it's all a list of laws. And you know, it's so much based on fear. They're so worried about what Allah's going to do if they do the wrong thing by Allah. And I know some pastors wouldn't be going to preach about it from the pulpit like I am because they're worried they'll get a, what's it called, a fatwa on their head. So if I'm not here tomorrow, I'll be with Jesus. It's okay. But I think it's important that we talk about this in our churches because it's important that we understand so that we can share the love of Jesus with them. So one tip that he gave at this conference the other day was when witnessing to a Muslim, men should really only witness to men and women should only witness to women. There's no point me going over to the Kelvin Grove Urban Village here. There's a whole bunch of Saudi Arabian Muslims there. If I sit down with some of the women there and try and witness to them, they'll be completely offended. And if their husbands found out, they'd be completely unhappy. It should be women witnessing to Muslim women and men witnessing to Muslim men because that's very much a part of their culture. As soon as you offend them, the walls come up and you're not going to be able to win them. And interestingly enough, and I'm not saying we should do this here, but Stuart Robinson, pastor of Crossway Baptist in Melbourne, they actually have a special service on a Sunday afternoon, which is just for Muslims to visit. So it's not a Chrisland multi-faith service, but it's a service where they can come along and hear the gospel in a service that doesn't offend them in their culture. And I thought that's actually an interesting idea because, you know, Paul said, I've become like a Jew to reach the Jews. I've become like a Greek to reach the Greeks. I've become all things so that I might win someone. So I'm just thinking, we've got to be intelligent when it comes to our evangelism. We've got to know how to win people from a different culture. So I'm just throwing some of these ideas out to you to give you an idea of where they're coming from. So some questions you can ask if you're speaking to a Muslim. Do we worship the same God? There's a lie getting around in Christian churches these days too, and in particular in the New Age movement, that it's all the same God. Our God the Father is the same as Allah, is the same as Buddha, is the same as Hare Krishna, is the same as all the Hindu gods. Oh, there's this lie that it's all the same. I'm telling you what, if you read the Word of God, you read the Holy Bible that we believe, our God is completely different to all the other gods that you hear about. The nature, the character of what we believe our God is so different to what all the other religions teach. So firstly, if someone tries to say, oh, it's okay, we worship the same God, we'll go to heaven together, you've got to put up a wall, you put up a hand and say, well, just hold it there because I actually believe that my God is a God of love, my God is a God of mercy, my God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. This is, you know, and one of the best ways to reach people from any other religion is to share your testimony. People can't argue with a testimony, can they? I talk about how I came to Christ when I was 15 and I was born again and my sins have been forgiven and it's like the light came on in my life and I've had this joy ever since. You share that testimony of what God's done in your life, they can't argue with it. Like there's no evidence against my testimony, is there? Because my life, you know, 37 years old, following Christ for 22 years now, there's no one that can argue with that. So share your testimony, share your personal story of what God's done in your life. You know, it's interesting, some of the statistics I've read, I've been researching on this, you know how we're getting a lot of boat people, a lot of illegal immigrants coming to Australia? A vast majority of them are of the Muslim faith, and they're actually encouraging them not to assimilate, not to integrate into our society. The way that the Muslim faith teaches that they encourage them to live in their own enclave, and there is a little enclave over the road here now at the Urban Village. There's some on the south side of Brisbane. Sydney, in particular, there's a lot of, you know, is it Kembla? There's a whole bunch of places around Sydney where there are strong Muslim enclaves, and they don't actually want to interact with us. So there is a wall up automatically. And the same with people from any other religion. There is a wall up when we go and share with them. The only way to break through that wall is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of God. So if you want to witness to someone and share the love of Jesus with someone, you've got to be a person of prayer. You've got to pray that the eyes of their heart will be open to receive the gospel, that the blind, the scales of their eyes will come off, that they'll hear the love of Jesus. So if you're trying to reach someone from another religion, share the love of Jesus with them. A few stats I'll just rattle off here. There's a maximum security in prison in New South Wales, where 70% of the inmates have recently converted to Islam because of one man, because he's a passionate zealot for the Islam faith to proselytize for the Muslim faith. And those 70% in that prison that are now converts are now being paid money from their mosques to support their cause, and their vision is to turn it into a completely Muslim prison. That's their plan. One of the strategies that Muslims use to evangelize the world, to bring their message to the world, is they go to minority groups who've been persecuted. They've gone to African Americans, they've gone to Aboriginals in Australia, they've gone to groups that have been persecuted and try to win them over and show them that they will have power and they will be able to rule and reign if they join their religion. So it's interesting, you see them going to prisons, you see, and I think we will see a lot of that, and that's why prison chaplaincy is so important. I know the Rizzo guys from our drug rehab are starting to go into the prisons around Brisbane and have a heart to reach out to the inmates. Muslims, so this is a quote from Muhammad Taqi Usmani, one of the leaders of the Muslim faith. He said, "Muslims in the minority in any country must live in peace until they are strong enough to wage jihad." Now, jihad's holy war where you take over and you bring in Sharia law into a nation. Sharia law is things like halal. You see a lot of businesses these days offering halal food, like Nando's, others, to Muslims. That's actually Sharia law. So Sharia law is already partially available in Australia right now. Interestingly enough, to do with finances, there's 15% growth in Muslim banks around the world. It's gone from 70 to 300 banks in recent years. In Europe, the birth rate for Muslims is 3.4 per household, and in the Anglo-Saxons, it's only 1.2. So in 50 years' time, the Muslims will outnumber the Anglo-Saxons and will be able to take over just by voting, by sheer numbers. That's why I reckon it's important for all the young couples in our church, have as many kids as you can. Go forth and multiply. I told my sister that statistic, and she goes, "I'm going to have another kid. I want to give my kids a fighting chance." That's hilarious. But I'm not going to go there. But I just really believe all this stuff, you know, as I heard this in the seminar the other day, I started thinking, well, I've got to share some of this stuff with my church. This is good stuff. And I'm not going to go on. I could go on for ages. There's a lot of stuff that was rattled off and a lot of stuff that's quite shocking and alarming. I'm not here to do that today. Because Stuart said this at the end of his conference. He said, "Don't be filled with fear. Trust in God." Fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. You know, 95% of our fears as humans don't actually come to pass. We have all these fears, we're worried about this, worried about that. A lot of the fears that we have with Muslims, let's not be Muslimophobic. Let's not be fearful and worried about Muslims. They are people that God has created. They are people that God has a plan for. Jesus died for every Muslim on this planet. He loves them. And what's his plan to reach out to them? It's his church. He's called us his church. You think about Jesus, right? 2,000 years ago, he dies on the cross. He rises from the dead. He says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things I've commanded you. And I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you till the very end of the age." He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Upon this rock, the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will build my church. Now, he said that to 12 disciples. Do you think they were looking around going, "Hang on, I'm a fisherman, I'm a tax guy, I'm a this, I'm a that. How are we going to change the world?" You'd think Jesus would have bought an advertising campaign or built a website or, you know, done some kind of direct mail marketing or built some United Nations or done something to reach the world. But who did he choose? He chose 12 men. And he said, "Go into all the world." Just think, there's about 80 or 90 of us here this morning. Think about how we could reach our city, our nation for Christ. The same Holy Spirit that was in our disciples in the book of Acts is available to us. The same power to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper. It's available to us. What is God's plan for the Muslim people? What is God's plan for the Buddhists, for the Hindus? His plan is for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, to let our light shine, to show them the love of Jesus, to heal their sick, to raise them from the dead, to perform miracles, to care for them, for the lonely and the outcast and the wounded. His plan is to use his church to reach the world. And he's making his church beautiful. He's making the bride beautiful before his glorious return. It's our time. It's our watch. You know, there's this fear that Muslims are going to take over. There's this fear that Christianity is going to die away in the end times. I don't believe that at all. I believe the church is going to be a glorious bride in the end times. I believe our church is going to rise up and grow and be more strong and mighty every day. I believe he's going to equip us with the Holy Spirit, with spiritual gifts, and we're going to see the fire of God burn in us so much that the world will say, wow, I want what they got. That crew at New Hope, they got Jesus, and I want Jesus. I can see Jesus in Cecily when she prays. I can see Jesus in Terry when he goes out to Pindari and looks after those blokes. I can see Jesus shining out of Carol when she goes and runs the Shine group on Tuesday nights at Pindari. I can see Jesus, and I want what they've got. The world is crying out for the way, the truth, and the life, and we have him. We have Jesus. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light shine. So Jesus is reaching out to many with his church, but he's also just visiting them personally. One of the stories that I heard was about a man who was told, that there's actually a great movie called Behind the Sun, that's a really good one, about a Muslim guy that converted to Christianity. And there's another one that we handed out to everyone at our church last year, brilliant one anyway, it's from Kurong. It's got five testimonies of Muslims who've come to Christ. And one of them was where a man was a scholar of the Quran, and he was given a test from his imam. He said, read the Bible and prove that it's wrong. So he read through the Bible and he was like, this is the best book I've ever read in my entire life. My goodness, where has this been hiding all my life? He's reading the Bible going, wow, this is incredible. And he stood before Allah that night and he said, Allah, is the Bible true or is the Quran true? Show me. And nothing happened. He's like, oh well. Just about to go to bed. And a cross appeared in his room, this illuminated bright cross appeared in his room over the Bible, like a neon flashing cross. And an audible voice said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he gave his heart to Jesus that night. And he's now one of the best evangelists in the 1040 window in those Muslim nations, reaching out. But you know, it's interesting, the statistics in those nations, there is two active missionaries per million Muslims in those nations. Two per million. So as the church, the body of Christ nationwide, worldwide, that's our mission. That's where Brother Yun's going. Brother Yun from China, he spoke at our church last year. He is going down that Silk Road from Jerusalem all the way through, wanting to win people for Christ in that 1040 window. And I'm just asking you, would you pray? Would you think about it? I'm going to go sometime. I don't know when. My wife's not too happy about it. But I'm going to go sometime because I want to see. The Bible says the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached to all nations before he returns, and then will come. And I believe we are the last of the last. You know how you see the baton passed in the relay? Did anyone watch the relay at the Olympics? I've got my Aussie thing on today. You see they run? They save the best runner to last, don't they? He passes the baton and he goes for it, for the line. I reckon the church of the 21st century, 2012, that we're in right now, we are the last runner in the race before the return of Christ. And we're the best runner. I reckon we are going to see more miracles than ever before. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied over Australia. He said, out of the end of the 20th century, into the 21st century, Australia will see the last greatest move of the Holy Spirit. And people will be raised up in Australia to go to the nations of the world with the good news. And then the end will come. Hillsong proclaimed it at their conference this year in front of 30,000 people. Their focus for Hillsong Conference next year is revival. They've got Joel Osteen and Craig Groeschel and Jesus Culture and all these revivalists there going to be speaking next year because they believe it's time for Smith Wigglesworth prophecy to come to pass in Australia in this day and age. And I believe we're on the cusp of it. And we need to be equipped to win souls, whether they're Muslim, they're Buddhist, they're atheist, Hindu, whatever. We need to be equipped to know how to win them for Christ. And it starts with love. That's the message today. Let's have a look at what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. You'll see this on your screens. Let's have a look at this. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with by thanksgiving, those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you've followed. Have nothing to do with the godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, and we've all seen the Olympics, they've done their training for 4 years for this. Training yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Holding promise for truth after both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe. God has a plan for every person on this planet. The devil has a plan to deceive people. And the devil uses a lot of truth and a bit of lies. Interesting that you see in the Muslim faith, there is a lot of similarities there. They believe in Isa. They believe that he did miracles. They believe that he's coming back. They believe that there's a whole bunch of things that are similar. But it's a twisted version. It's a contorted version of Christ. Buddha actually said in one of his ancient writings in Cambodia, he said that there is one coming after me who is greater than me. He'll have scars in his hands and in his feet, and a crown on his head. And he said, there'll be light like a lightning bug that will come down upon a group of people. They're the ones that you should follow. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Buddha was alive during the time of Ezekiel, many, many years before Christ. And here he is prophesying that there was one coming after, and that's Jesus. Let me tell you, every religion has a whole bunch of truth, a whole bunch of good stuff in there. But it's been twisted. Now you might say, oh, but yeah, Christianity's got a whole bunch of truth, but it's been twisted as well. This is what I encourage you. Study the scriptures for yourself. Train yourself for godliness. Go through the word of God. Understand the difference between these other religions and Christianity. You've got to be educated about it. For years, as a preacher, I would avoid tackling this subject because I knew you got to be really smart to preach on it. I knew you got to know your stuff. And so I've been head down, thumbs up, looking at studying in the last couple of weeks, trying to get my head around this stuff. And there's probably stuff today that you and I can have a good argument about after this. And I'm happy to chat to you more about it because I ain't got all the answers yet. But what I am is I'm hungry to know the truth of the Word of God. I'm hungry to know how God wants me to reach out to those who are of other faiths. How can I win them for Christ? Matthew 5:16 says this, and this is the bottom line for today. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They can't argue with your testimony. They can't argue with a life that's been changed. Janet Yeo over here shared a testimony here recently a number of times. Interviewed her on History Makers about it as well. Lived a great life. Successful businesswoman. Had, you know, the nice house, the nice husband, everything going for her. Yet this big empty void in her heart. Alcoholism, struggling with all sorts of vices. She came to Christ for the last 4 or 5 years now. I don't know how long it's been. Here she is helping out with New Hope Care, helping out people with their finances, working with Opportunity International, helping the poor in India. Raising $24,000 for the Brisbane River fundraising walk recently. You can't argue with the change in Janet's life. That's what Jesus does when it comes into someone's heart. And I could point to Krista, I could point to Linda Ellen, I could point to Wes, I could point to many people in our church. You can't argue with someone who is letting their light shine. It's the best witness that we have to people from other faiths. Sure, we've got to understand and know the differences of what their teaching is and our teaching is. but we've got to let our life speak louder than anything else. It's like Francis Assisi said this, and you'll see it on the screen. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Let your life speak louder. People can't argue with the life that you live and the good deeds you're doing for God. People don't know how much. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's about our heart of love for people. And we need to be careful not to be argumentative. It's like this story I heard recently from a pastor named Emo Phillips. He said, I was walking across the bridge one day and I saw a man standing on the edge about to jump off. I ran over and said, stop, don't do it. He said, why shouldn't I? I said, well, there's so much to live for. He said, like what? He said, well, are you religious or an atheist? He said, I'm religious. He said, me too. He said, are you a Christian or a Buddhist? He said, I'm a Christian. He said, me too. He said, are you Catholic or Protestant? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. He said, are you Anglican or Baptist? He said, Baptist. He said, well, me too. He said, are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord? He said, Baptist Church of God. I said, me too. He said, are you original Baptist Church of God or Reformed Baptist Church of God? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God. I said, me too. He said, are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation 1879, or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. I said, die, heretic scum, and I pushed him off the bridge. After having all these things in common, one little thing there caused division. And, you know, I learned at Bible college a great saying. It said, major on the major things and minor on the minor things. It's so true in church that there'll be many things that we agree on in the Bible, in the scriptures, and in our different denominations and different beliefs, but there'll be certain things we disagree on. Don't major on the minor things. Major on the major things, and the major thing is Jesus. Amen? The major thing is Jesus, the Word of God, that we love to pray, we love to worship God. Let's have unity because of the major things and not let the little things cause trouble and push people off bridges. Same with people of other religions. Don't get into nitty-gritty arguments. It's not going to win anyone. Your love and your life and your testimony. C.S. Lewis warned, and he said this, of all bad men, religious bad men are the worst. And I've seen it true. I don't know how I made it to become a pastor. I had three or four pastors in my life who got caught up in drug addiction. One guy ran off on his wife. I've had pastors that have set bad role models, and I don't know why I ever became a pastor, because I thought that they certainly didn't do a very good job of being a role model for me. But hey, if I looked for imperfection in everyone's lives, I could find it in everyone's life. I don't look to the imperfections in the leaders I follow or the people I follow. I look to Jesus because he's perfect, amen? Don't judge the church on the few people that mess it up. Judge Jesus. He's perfect, sinless, holy. Soren Kierkegaard said this, the human race in this course of time has taken the liberty of softening and softening Christianity until at last we've contrived to make it exactly the opposite of what is in the New Testament. We need to be careful that we don't have a twisted version of Christianity. You see it in pretty much every major religion of the world. You see morphed, twisted views and cults and different things coming out. I'm not going to get into that today, but the reason I've put this quote up there is to remind you, the Word of God is our authority. It's our foundation. It's the bottom line for us. That's why our slogan is, for people interested in God, not religion. We're not interested in all the laws and the rules. We're interested in a relationship with Jesus. The definition of the word religion and is the worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. But it also is taken from the Latin word religere, which means to bind up. Jesus didn't come to bind people up. He came to set people free. He didn't come to make people, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do that. He came so that we could be changed on the inside out and become a new person in Christ Jesus. We're not focused on the religious form and the human traditions. We want a relationship with God and for others to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So another common question is, do all roads lead to God? No, I don't believe so. Some churches in the States are having all these multi-faith services, but we believe in John 3:16, for God, the one and only God, so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Here's another verse from 1 John 4 where he teaches about this. He says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." I just believe that's a foundational verse. 1, 2, and 3 John were written at the end of the Apostle John's life. He'd been with Jesus, and you see that through the book of John. He'd been at Revelation and had this incredible revelation of God. You see that. And then these are his last letters. And what's his focus? He says, don't be deceived by these false spirits. Don't be deceived by all these things. If someone acknowledges that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, he has the right spirit. If he doesn't, it's the wrong spirit. That's the way to determine what's right and what's wrong. And he says, but in all this, we've got to love. We've got to love one another. The love of God is the most important thing. In John 14:6, we all know this verse. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Reminds me of the other story I heard recently. A young man arrived at the gates of heaven. He's greeted by St. Peter, holding the Lamb's Book of Life. St. Peter glances through the book and closes it and says, "Sorry, mate, you're not in the book." The guy says, "How often is this book updated?" He says, "Well, I get a new update every 15 minutes, downloaded to my iPad." He says, "Well, why?" The guy said, "I lived a very sinful life and didn't cry out to Jesus until I knew I was dying. So I'm probably not listed yet." Peter says, "Well, while we're waiting for the update, tell me a bit about the best deed you ever did for anyone. Not that you get saved by the deed, but I'm just curious about what's the best deed you ever did." And he said, "Well, there was this one time when a girl was being threatened by a bunch of gang members. There must have been 10 of them wearing gang colours and tattoos. I couldn't walk away. I grabbed a tire iron out of my car and I walked right up to them. They turned around from the girl and they saw me. I told them if they didn't leave her alone, I was going to teach them a lesson." Peter was impressed by the man's actions. He said, "So when did this happen?" And the guy said, "Oh, about 5 minutes ago." So he cried out to Jesus at just in the middle of being bad. Anyway, I won't go on. We know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, to cry out to him. And no matter what sins we've committed, he is the way, the truth, and the life. This week I was able to chat to one of Australia's richest men, a guy by the name of Peter Daniels, who's a multimillionaire, treasurer for Youth for Christ around the world. And I asked him a question. I said, "What is the gospel?" And he said, "Well, the gospel is good news." And I thought about it in the context of this message today. The things that I've learned about all these other religions is that there ain't much good news in them. In Buddhism, you get reincarnated and you don't tread on a cockroach or it'll affect you in the next life and you try and be good and do, you know. But there's you just can't be a good Buddhist. There's all these laws you've got to follow and you just can't do it. In Islam, you've got to face this way 5 times a day and your men and women are different and this and you just can't. And you don't even know if you're going to heaven or not. Most Muslims don't even know if they're going to heaven. And they don't know if they're saved by Allah. You look at the life of Muhammad. I mean, there's not much good news in there. You look at Hinduism. Hundreds and hundreds of gods or thousands of gods. There's a god for this and a god for that. And there's even rat gods that you give offerings to when you go to India. There's gods, you know, just a melting pot of all these different gods. I mean, what good news is in that when you've got to make these sacrifices to these gods all the time to try and appease them? There ain't much good news in any religion that I've studied. But God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. How good is that for good news? That's the best news you're ever going to hear. Peter Daniels went on to say that the bad news is that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we know that from the book of Romans. We know that we've all sinned. And he said the word sin came from the Anglo-Saxon word for archery. When you try and shoot at the target, if you miss the target, the guy was the counter, would you let, oh, sin, he's missed the target, he's committed sin. That's where the word sin comes from in the English. And all have sinned, we've all missed the target. But the good news is Jesus hit the target, didn't he? He hit the target for us. And you get a gold medal because Jesus hit the target. All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is get up on that podium and accept the gold medal that Jesus won for you on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whatever Muslim, whatever Buddhist, whatever Hindu, whatever African, Chinese, Korean, Aussie, whatever atheist, whatever agnostic, whoever, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what you've been raised in. A lot of people just say they're a Muslim because they were raised Muslim. Say they're Catholic because they're raised Catholic. Say they're Calathumpian because they were raised Calathumpian. Whatever you are. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 3, verse 16 to 18. I might just ask the worship team to come. I'm actually only about halfway through that message, but thankfully I'm on again next week so I can finish it then. So if you want to come back next week, I'm going to be teaching a bit more on a couple of those other subjects about the importance of knowing the Word of God. How is our Bible different to other holy books? Other holy books, I say in parentheses. And how do we share with someone who believes in a different faith? So I might continue that next week. I've got to say, last Sunday night, I was really impacted by our guest speaker, David Rajamaran. Great young man of God who's moving overseas now, and he really threw out a challenge. He said, you know, many people have a distorted view of Jesus, have a misunderstanding of Jesus, and he told a great story about how there was a butcher that had a little tin that said money for the blind, and people would get their meat and they'd put in the change and money for the blind and rattle the tin and it'd fill up and money for the blind, oh, that's a good cause, let's give to that. And one day someone went in to put the money in the tin and the tin was gone. And he said to the butcher, where's the tin gone? And he goes, oh, I bought the blind. It's up over here. Up over here. They thought they were giving to money for the blind, but it was money for the blind. Many people can misunderstand the true message of the gospel, misunderstand who Jesus is and who God is. And he said this quote, and it really challenged me. He said, Jesus is not like the genie out of Aladdin, where you rub the lamp and you get three wishes. He said, Jesus isn't like your boyfriend in heaven. He's just there. You can take him or leave him as if, you know. Jesus is the Son of God, the glorified Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, sovereign, powerful, almighty. He's the great God of heaven and earth. You may have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. He's a powerful God. Let's have a look at this verse as I close. Matthew 7, verse 13. If you want to come to Jesus, this is what he challenged us with. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. He said, watch out for false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. But only the one who does the will of my Father. Oh, sorry, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? You know, he knows everything about you. He knows your heart. Are you right with God in your heart? You know, many can know about the Queen of England, but not many actually know the Queen of England with a personal relationship. You might know about who she is, but you don't know her personally. Sad truth of it is that there are probably many people who come to this church week after week who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Carnal Christians or false Christians, there are many of them in the church. Say they know about God, know about Jesus, but don't know Jesus on a personal one-to-one basis. My heart today is just to throw the challenge out to you. Come back to Jesus as your first love. Make sure he is number one. Don't live your life as a carnal Christian, half-hearted, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. Like the words of that song we sang before. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Lord, I give everything for the cause of Christ. Jesus just doesn't want you on a Sunday morning. He wants you on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, every day of the week. He wants all of you. I would just be so shocked. I would just be so brokenhearted if I knew that people in our church stood before God one day and said, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons and perform miracles? I would just be so shocked if Jesus said, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It's a challenge to make sure your heart's right before Jesus. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, we don't want to live a half-hearted life for you. We don't want to live a lukewarm life for you. We want to make sure that you are number one, Lord of all in our life today. And I just feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in this place today. But there are some people here that are saying, you know what? I've been faking it. I haven't been living my life right before God. I've been a carnal Christian. I haven't been full on boots and all in for Jesus. I've been dabbling in stuff I shouldn't be dabbling. I've got addictions I shouldn't be giving into. I've been faking it through the week and putting on a good show on a Sunday. I just feel the Lord say today, his grace and his mercy and his love is for you. He's reaching out his hands to you and saying, I forgive you. I have mercy for you. I died on the cross for you. Repent, turn from your wicked ways and give your heart to me afresh today. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you and you want to get your heart right with God right now, just slip up your hand and say, yes, God, I come back to you today. I want to give my heart to you afresh. Yeah, mate, I see that. That's good. Is there anyone else that says, yes, God, I'm coming back to you. I see that. That's good. Is there anyone else that says, I'm coming back to you, Father? Just lift up your hand high. His grace is enough. His mercy is enough. He loves you. He died on the cross to bring you to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Is there anyone else? I'll give you one more chance. If you want to recommit yourself to him or give your heart to him, just slip up your hand. That's good, mate. I see that. Is there anyone else? He says, God, I'm coming back to you right now. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I give everything to you. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for me, risen from the dead, to forgive me my sins. I turn from my wicked ways and I give everything to you. 24/7, 365, I surrender all to you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Come on, cry out to Him. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need you, Jesus. Have mercy on me. Wash away my sins. Make me born again. In Jesus' name. Well, I believe if you prayed that prayer today, you've been made right with God. You have received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've received His grace. We want to give you a Bible and we want to pray with you and want to talk with you. So as we close the service, just come out the front, have a seat on these front chairs here and we'll pray with you and we'll talk with you. Really believe that we want to lay hands on you and see the Holy Spirit move in your heart today. As we close with the worship song now, if you need some prayer for healing in your body, for breakthrough in your finances or anywhere, anything in your life that you've got a need, we'd love to pray with you for God to do a miracle in your life today. Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship Him. If you want some prayer, come out the front. We'll pray for you now.